Alrighty. I finally did it. I did it. I convinced him. I got the man himself, the myth, the legend, the mystery, the guy that runs King Watch LA page, even though you never see his face.
Or unless you click the avatar and then you ask yourself, is that the white guy or the black guy that's sitting at that table? And then you look and you're like, that might be Pavi. Shout out to my guy Daniel Bells, man. The one of, and I still, I don't care the fact that he ain't gonna do the show no more. Mr. Daniel Belts, the new voice of the Lakers. Daniel, I just want to say this before you say anything. I want to give you your flowers, bro. Like, I know me and Pavi started this podcast thing together, but you was like the third, fourth brother from another mother that came along to just believe in us and be like, yo, I fuck with y'all. Like, fuck it. Let's do some cool shit. Like, you believed in the brand so much and you fuck with what we was doing so much. You deleted your personal Twitter when you had thousands of followers. Just like, yeah, I'm tweeting from King Watch. And that's just kind of been what it is. So shout out to you, man. And the other thing is like, you really do have a great podcast voice, bro. So the fact that I can't turn my TV on every week and for an hour listen to you talk Lakers basketball. Like, I remember when you did your first pod and you were so nervous. You were drinking mad water. You're like, my throat's dry, guys. I'm sorry. And then you cut to like 20 episodes later and you was just in a groove. It was like listening to like silky smooth basketball moves in your ear. So shout out to you, Daniel, man. I'm glad that you can talk Lakers. Unfortunately, this is a funeral for the Lakers. But talk to me, man. It's been a while. What's going on? How you been, bro?
Pretty good. Just been watching from just TV, no more podcasting. But it's always fun to talk basketball with you. It's always fun to just hang out, chill, talk about normally the good times, but this is going to be a funeral for the Lakers episode. We've lost the Nuggets 11 straight times, and it's every single game is the same game. And at a certain point, you almost have to turn the TV off because I don't want to watch them get swept. They're going to lose game four. It's going to be a blowout.
Oh, it's going to be. It's good. Game four, you ever heard that saying, let's get all the way ignorant?
Yeah. No.
Game four, like even I don't know if you noticed this, but at the end of the game, when Jokic had the ball in the post, it was like 5 seconds left on the clock. He like looked one way and did like some funny ass fast spin move and then ran to the lane and just threw some bullshit up. Like, they are fucking with the Lakers right now. Like, this is like a cat playing with a mouse at this point. I'm sorry, continue.
Someone said the Nuggets want the Lakers to get up 10 because then they're just going to come back and rip their hearts out. And they want Laker fans to see how far our team is from their team. And it's...
Yeah. It's sad.
Where do they go from here? You have three players on the team right now that can't play defense, and that's D'Lo, Reeves, and Rui, and they're all starting. They're all starting next to LeBron and AD. And guess what? LeBron doesn't want to play defense 80% of the time. So then it's just AD out there by himself playing defense, and all other four guys on the court are just basically stuck in no man's land. And what's terrible is they can't even get a rebound after a fucking miss.
Bro, that's the craziest part.
Like, you're not even playing defense to go get a fucking rebound, and they can't do that. So then it's just like, where do they go from here? They're going to say trade D'Lo, trade Rui and Reeves for Trae Young, but then again, Trae Young can't play defense. Like, where do they go? AD is going to make $50 million. LeBron, if he signs back with us, will get $60 million. That's already $110 million in cap space right there. D'Lo, does he re-sign? Does he decline the player option? Like, we don't know what we have next year. But what we do know is Rui and Austin, 10 points, 5 points, when you're making $16 million a year, is unacceptable because you can't play defense. We look across who we're playing against, which is KCP. KCP might get you 10 points a night, but he's going to play defense for 36 minutes. And that's what Austin, D'Lo, and Rui aren't doing. And you see what we won a championship with. That was with KCP at the two. You see what we have now. We don't have a single perimeter defender that's a positive.
Yeah, to interrupt you, but I think that's the saddest part about the Lakers is like, And I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna blame you. I'm not going to blame you. So I want you to understand that I'm not talking about Daniel Belts. But Lakers fans are the reason as to why this team is where it is. You all criticize Vogel and the minute mistakes that he made so much, even though he gave you all a championship, they went away from what their core identity was and that they built, which made them champions. And that was defense and rebounding. You had Dwight Howard. JaVale McGee was on that team, if I'm not mistaken. You had Anthony Davis. You had KCP, who's a great perimeter defender, and he's a guy that will go down and rebound. You had Rondo, who is one of the greatest rebounding guards in history, right? You had LeBron, supposedly a good rebounder and a great rebounder. Like, you all had defense and rebounding. And the only thing that you have been relying on for the past, since Frank Vogel got fired, and actually since the year y'all won a championship, because that's the other thing I find ironic. You all won a championship and completely flipped the team. Like, the team went from being a defensive team to an offensive team. Yeah. And I don't understand that when you made your bread and butter on defense. Now the Lakers can't stop a nosebleed. Mm-hmm. And like, the only time, and I said this actually last night, because I'm low-key, I've been sick as hell this whole weekend. But this shit don't stop. You know what I mean? Like, this shit does not, like, this shit don't stop. So if I say, yo, I'm sick, I'm taking 4 days off, that's like fucking 16, 20 playoff games. You know what I mean? I said this after game two. LeBron is the reason why y'all lost that game. In the second half of that basketball game, the Lakers scored 20 points in the third, 20 points in the fourth. For the game, LeBron James shot 9 of 19 from the field. For the game, Anthony Davis had 32 points and shot 14 of 19 from the field. He took one basket attempt, I believe, in the fourth quarter of that game. Jamal Crawford commented during the live broadcast of that game that LeBron was running the point guard. So if LeBron is running the point guard position at that point, what does that mean? That means LeBron is calling the plays, because we all know they do not respect Darvin Ham and they don't give a damn about what he's drawing up. So LeBron is running the team. So while we want to scapegoat everyone else, you got to blame the guy who is running the team and on the floor with the team, and that's LeBron. LeBron was the one with the ball in his hands. And everyone would say, oh, he has such a virtuoso performance. He scored so much. They lost. And they were up 20. In the third, you're up 20 points in the third. And you lose that basketball game. And you don't even score 100 points. When you went into the halftime with, I believe they had either 58 or 59 points. So you score 40 in the second half. That's a quarter for most teams. That's a half for Dame Lillard. Don't tell me how much of a virtuoso LeBron was when they lost, and the big man who shot 14 of 19 didn't get a shot. Am I tweaking, Daniel?
No. Game two.
Go ahead. Get your shit off. Go ahead. But that's just my one point about it. It's like, We gonna point fingers at people and talk about everybody else's effort. But the one thing I will say that I've always commended Shaq for is his theory about the others is undefeated. Because when the others get the ball, when they play well, when they touch the ball, the team wins. When the others are not involved, when they're not active, you lose. And he's been saying that for damn near decades at this point. He was calling his teammates others when they was playing with him. Like, gee, don't call me no other. I'm on this team right now. Pass me the goddamn ball. So that's just my point. Go ahead. Get your shit off. I want to hear it.
And game two, for spurts of the fourth quarter, LeBron was great. He hit back-to-back threes. He hit the dunk where he had the and one. But before that, there were a lot of empty possessions where it's just Bron holding the ball for 16 seconds, gets a pick. It doesn't work well. Rui couldn't really screen in that fourth quarter against KCP, and there were a lot of possessions where it just looked like we were just stagnant on offense, and the ball was in LeBron's hand for the entirety of the time. So yes, he hit those two threes. Yes, he hit that dunk over KCP, or might not have been KCP, might have been Jamal Murray, where we went up three with about 2 minutes to go left in the fourth, but we have a tremendous lead. We're feeding AD the ball in the third quarter. We go up 20 points. Like, game should have been over. But then things start to spiral. AD picks up his fourth foul. He gets checked out of the game. So we're up 10, and the only offense we run is basically LeBron ISO, LeBron ISO, LeBron pick, LeBron pick, LeBron this, LeBron that. And he's 39. He can't do it physically anymore. So it's just basically we're wasting possessions watching this happen. Oh, yes, LeBron hits a fuck you three, but it's also like that's a 27-footer he just shot. Like, that's really not the correct basketball play, but he's fucking LeBron James. He made it. Congrats. But it's just for whatever reason, we go away from AD in the fourth quarter. It might be because the defense has made adjustments to where we can't hit AD. And what the Nuggets did in that fourth quarter was they put Aaron Gordon on AD because Jokic couldn't stop AD. And I believe they put Jokic on Rui, and that took Rui out of the game as well. And then it just was LeBron ISO, LeBron ISO. LeBron hit D'Lo, hit Austin. It's a terrible shot, and it's terrible. It's terrible basketball watching.
Can I ask you a question?
What's up?
And I'm going to put this on the board. And this is an honest question, and I know that we've had our mixed feelings about him because he stands with his hands in his pocket. But to be fair to him, first year coach, conference finals, second year, you make the playoffs, and regardless of what anyone wants to say, even if they lose, you're losing to the defending champions who are en route to a potential back-to-back with a potential three-time MVP who argumentatively you could say should have won four in a row. Nikola Jokic has been the best basketball player in the NBA for 4 years in a row.
And
the craziest part is he's getting better. Does he look like he's falling off to you? It looked like he learned a new bullshit to do.
No, every single time we see them play, it's like, where did he get this? When did he pick this up? Is he even 30 yet? And there are things he's doing on the
is he 30
on the I don't think he's 30, but the things he's doing on the defense.
He was born in 95. He younger than my second little brother.
And it's he's so.
Can I just say one thing before you say that? Can just hypothetically, I'm gonna say it and then we're gonna just think about it. Can you imagine? He already don't run fast. He don't jump high. You can't block his shot. You can't outstrength him. He got all-time great vision. He's a high-percentage three-point shooter, high-percentage mid-range shooter, high-percentage at the basket. What if he don't want to go and race horses for another 10 years?
He's going to be big body Kareem. That's it.
He might. This is no hyperbole. He might fuck around and win six MVPs.
This is what, his third or fourth?
This is his third, and he's 29. So let's just say he don't win next year. They don't three-peat, but they get back to like a Warriors where you get there four, five, six times, and he's still averaging 25, 12, and 9 while they whooping everybody ass.
So what does LeBron have? He has four MVPs?
Yeah.
Four championships, four finals MVPs. If the Nuggets repeat, he's already halfway there to championships and finals MVPs. If he wins the MVP, he's already 75% of the way to get to LeBron's accolades. Each time I watch Jokic, it's okay. So he learned how to pass out of this double team. Okay, he learned how to pass out of this double team. Okay, so he realizes when he's supposed to take that shot. He realizes when he's supposed to lay it off. Then you see the things he's starting to use: his body, his size, his length on defense. And that's the most important part of the difference between Jokic and Luka
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis doesn't use his body properly, and that's why he's so inconsistent. And that's why guys that are smaller than him are able to compete with him, because if you put Joker's brain in AD, Anthony Davis is the best player in basketball ever. Like, I'm not even joking. Anthony Davis was 6'1 until he was like 19. He grew up being a point guard. If you put Nikola Jokic's mind on how he deals with his body and the physicality of the game into Anthony Davis's body, Anthony Davis would be the greatest player to ever play basketball. because he can jump as he could jump as high as anybody. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it, that's to me the most amazing part about what he does. He don't even have all of that shit.
Now, this isn't Anthony Davis slander, who's averaging 35 points and 14.
It's no slander to him. But the same thing I said about LeBron, you did all of that, but you didn't win. So, like, yes, you had great numbers, but you were not effective enough to put wins on the board. Like, you will have technically, after they get swept from this series, have lost 13 games in a row versus the Nuggets, am I right? Including eight straight in the playoffs. Eight straight games, of which six, I believe, you've had the lead in, at least in six of them. Double-digit leads in at least, I believe, four of them. And you've lost all of them. I like AD. I'm not crapping on AD. But if Jokic pull off this back-to-back and third MVP, he's in my top 15 of all time.
And if
somebody got to move. And if he win LeBron, one more, he in top 10.
If he sweeps LeBron in back-to-back series as you're going to win your second championship and you had to get rid of him on the way, that's for Jokic, that's icing on the cake. And I know it's not prime LeBron. I know it's not 2013 Miami Heat LeBron, but still LeBron averaging 25, 5, 5 plus.
Don't let Lakers fans hear that. They tell you LeBron is the best he ever been.
Some Laker fans were like, okay, we're the seventh seed, but at least LeBron's healthy this season. And I'm like, if you're watching LeBron on a lot of nights, yes, he might get 30, 10, and 10, but he can't play defense. He can't make that switch for a 7-game series. He can do it for a quarter. He's not athletic enough to do that for the entire game. Oh no, LeBron's healthy. LeBron's this, LeBron's that. I'm like, are you fucking watching him? He's telling you he's not going to get back on defense. And guess what? That's not going to change in the playoffs.
It's not at all.
Like, he can lock in for a 5 to 6 minute stretch, but he's not, like, there are going to be those times where he just realizes, I'm not going to try this possession. Or I'm tired. I'm going to give the ball to fucking D'Angelo Russell, who I hope he makes a shot, but if he doesn't, fuck it. I'm
third. Poor D'Lo, man.
And it's sad D'Lo. Because D'Lo was our baby. 2015, we drafted him. And we
y'all should have left him gone, if I'm being honest. That was one reunion y'all didn't need.
So when D'Lo gets traded, he goes to the Nets, becomes an all-star. Some Laker fans are like, okay, we missed out.
What did he look like on the Warriors? He looked terrible on the Warriors. And I said that I thought, based off of what he did on the Nets, he would be a decent enough replacement for Kevin Durant to where they would lose a lot but still not lose everything. And then he went there and he kind of flamed out. That's just a respectful retort.
And it's even D'Lo terrible is 18 points. Whatever happens when D'Lo faces the Nuggets in the playoffs is a different story. And I think it's, for whatever reason, that team bothers him more than any other team I've ever seen bother him before. But we had, for this season for D'Lo, the best he's ever played, I think, statistically. He hit 40%, 42% from three. Mm-hmm. And then you got to hear the D'Lo revenge story is going to happen in the playoffs. And then he hit 7 threes in game two. And I think he's made 0 out of 16 in the other two games. So it's like, we get D'Lo the fake watch game for game two, and the other games he's checked out. I don't know if you saw the clip, but the Lakers are in a timeout. They're in a huddle, and D'Lo's 3 or 4 or 5 seats down. Just
no, I didn't. I haven't. Like, it's been some real life going on. I haven't been tapped into the clip. Literally, like I might tweet, but that's only because I might be watching the game at that point in time. But nah, I ain't been tapped in like that. But he wasn't even in the huddle, wasn't paying attention.
No, and it's I think you see Ham sees the writing on the wall for him.
He's getting, we're getting that statement within 8 hours of him getting fired. The game will be over at 10 o'clock. We're going to get the statement that he's been let go by 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 3 a.m. L.A. time. So he got about 5 hours after the game before we let them know you getting your fuck out of here.
And I don't think it's entirely of I don't think Ham
is he to blame
or fault.
That's actually a question I wanted to ask you. But then we start talking about Jokic. Is Darvin Ham to blame?
I think he's terrible in in-game adjustments. I think he's terrible in rotation, but he does have some redeeming qualities. That is, he's normally a player that or a coach that will always back up his players. There was something he said about AD yesterday where he agreed to disagree about how AD felt the coaching staff was prepared. And that was the first time I think I saw Ham kind of challenge one of his players in the press, in the media. But normally Ham is always going to stick up for his guys. He's going to kind of remain optimistic. He's going to just say they got to work harder. So he might lack in that stuff, but he's normally player positive, and that's always good as a coach. But he's not entirely at fault. I think more so is roster construction. You really thought three players that can't play defense was going to succeed in a postseason and a championship run. I think there are just more things to be at fault than Ham. I don't think Ham will be the coach that leads us past LeBron AD, and I wish him the best of luck elsewhere. He's not entirely to blame. He's part of the reason, but he's not the entire fault of why we're there. You just can't win a championship or expect to go far with Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell as their starting backcourt. You can't. They're very unathletic on the perimeter. They're very hot and cold.
Not to interject completely, because I want to stay on the Darvin Ham thread and specifically talk about this Austin Reeves D'Lo thing.
Yep.
Joel and I had a notorious bet, and I won a bottle from him for the bet. He
off
bet
15,
me
15.9 points. That's great. That's crazy,
bro. Dude, no, you want to, bro, you, bro. No, you don't. That's a lie. If a guy averaged 30, a guy averaged 30. If a guy averaged 29.9, we're not going to say the guy averaged 30. We're going to say he averaged 29.9. Am I wrong?
If you count the in-season tournament championship game,
I'm not counting
that. Gets
that.
You to no, 16.
No,
it gets you to 16. No,
fuck
that gets you
head.
To 16.
No. Those games don't count. Them and the play-in games do not count. I don't want to hear it. I'm not taking no arguments. Don't beef with me. Beef with Adam Silver about that. All right? Beef with Adam Silver about that not counting. But my question in relation to Darvin Ham, because everyone loved to make, you know, all of these accusations about Darvin Ham and Torian Prince and that, how they felt he favored him. But Torian Prince was the only Lakers player from the bench to have scored in the first two of these games. Did you know that?
I think Torian Prince was probably who you had to start over D'Lo. And it's crazy because of
I disagree with that. I think you start him over Reeves.
Okay.
And so you bring Reeves. I think you bring Reeves off the bench because Reeves off the bench can match Braun. Can match Braun, Jackson, Watson in terms of when they come in the game, Braun, Jackson, Watson, their goal is to get up the floor, run, and get easy, quick baskets. Like even Ryan Braun in the fourth quarter of game two versus the Lakers, he took a jumper from the elbow. And like if he was a other that didn't have the confidence of his team, he wouldn't have taken that jumper from the elbow with like, I think it was like 6.5, 8 minutes or something like that left in the game. Like it was in the middle of their comeback as they're like trying to close. Cause remember in the fourth quarter of the game two, it was really a point where like the lead was like, you know, kind of accordion between like 3 and 8 points.
Yep.
And Braun was in the game like right before that stretch when they bring all the starters back in. And he got the ball. I think somebody got a rebound or he got a pass. He got on the elbow. He just turned around, confident shot. To me, if you bring Reeves off the bench, you instantly can just say, AR, just go in and get buckets. Shoot it up. Get buckets. Okay. But if he's in the starting lineup with D'Lo, LeBron, and AD, LeBron and AD took 38 shots in combined in game two. And if you add D'Lo's shots, that's over 50 shots going to them. But that's all in the starting lineup. The bench had no scoring coming off of it but Torian Prince. So put Torian Prince in the starting lineup because you know he can score because he's the only one scoring on the bench. Put Reeves as a sixth man. AR, when you come in, I need pick and roll and buckets. Just score as much as you can. Give Braun, Watson, and Reggie Jackson hell. Because what you notice with the Lakers is unless LeBron and AD play 48 minutes a night, You just can't win, and they can't play 48 minutes a night. And people got mad at Darvin Ham saying, oh, none of the Lakers play over 40 minutes. Bro, they're playing in Denver at altitude. The Nuggets literally wore the jersey with the 5,280-mile altitude. They all were out there gassed. The Nuggets were gassed. The Lakers were gassed. If I played them 40 minutes, we not getting no output in the second half. Yep. They're gassed already. So, to me, it's a lot of blame to go around. But with the Austin Reeves D'Lo thing, like, I feel you that it was never meant to work. But this is why I blame the fans, because the fans hated Taurean Prince. So after a while of him being inconsistent, you kind of have to give into it. When to me, the better basketball move is Reeves off the bench, because Reeves off the bench can be Norman Powell level strong to me. Reeves off the bench could be 18 points a game. Reeves in a starting lineup is 15.9.
So I feel like.
Thank you, Joe.
I feel like with Taurean Prince, D'Lo, and Austin Reeves, there are series where D'Lo and Austin should start for the majority of the time, and then there are series where Taurean Prince should start. And I feel like with Denver's length, we won our championship in 2020 based off of size. Like, we were the biggest team. We were the most physical team. We out-rebounded. We were basically had more length on every single player, every single person that we saw out there. Then you see this Nuggets team. We have D'Lo, who's 6'5", but he's not long. You have Austin Reeves, not long. You have Rui. The Nuggets are one of the only teams that can match our size. So I think Taurean Prince was the correct call. You can take D'Lo out, you can take Austin out, you can take whoever out. That, as you're starting backcourt, just isn't going to do it, because it showed last year we didn't have the length. So we thought, going into the trade deadline, we would sign or trade for a wing. Instead, we signed Spencer Dinwiddie, who's not that. And you're only going to match up with the Nuggets with size. So I think Taurean Prince was the correct call there. It didn't happen, and that's okay. But going into next season, you can't have D'Lo and Austin Reeves start in the backcourt if you want to be a championship contending team. It's not going to work. You can get to the playoffs, you can get 45 to 50 wins, you can get some exciting points, some exciting milestones you reach, like D'Lo becoming the Lakers franchise record three-point shooter. But then you're going to get swept in the playoffs, you're going to hit 7 out of 33s, and then that's your legacy. One of them has to go, maybe both, this summer. It's a funeral for the Lakers against the Nuggets, and maybe this is the last we see of AD and LeBron basically in the playoffs, because LeBron can sign somewhere else. He legit can sign somewhere else next season. He can go wherever Bronny goes. He has the ball in the sport. You're already starting to put
We gotta play the funeral music. The nice acoustic cinema. Go ahead, continue.
So it's like AD can put in a trade request, especially if Darvin Ham's going to continue to challenge him in the media. Like, why am I going to stay here to cover your ass? Kind of beat. So I know we won 48 games this year. I know there are some positives coming out of the season, but we're Lakers fans. We expect championships to bust, getting swept, losing 8 straight playoff games to a team in the West isn't a good measuring stick for your franchise, because that shows that your coach can adjust, your team can adjust, your players can adjust. You saw the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics without Jimmy Butler, and you're telling me we can't beat the fucking Nuggets?
If Eric Spoelstra was the coach of the Lakers, y'all might have won like 5 in a row.
And you know what's
but,
crazy?
But you actually, know what's you know crazy? What? No. You know what's crazy?
LeBron
y'all wouldn't have.
Fired.
Because LeBron, I was just about to say, LeBron don't like him. So, yeah, y'all wouldn't have won shit. LeBron would have said, yeah, fire him. I don't like him. He's too hard on me.
I think that's, if we look back at LeBron's career,
the defining moments. What if he just buckled down and listened to Eric Spoelstra? His career would be way different. They might have got 5, not 6, not 7. Could you imagine just LeBron sticking around long enough and you maybe pairing LeBron and Bam together? Like LeBron from 5 years ago and Bam. Because we got to remember, the play-in at this point is damn near 5 years ago. It's at least, 3.5, 4 years at this point. Like, that was not a short time ago.
Yeah, because when we played the Heat, we had, that was 2020, that's 4 years ago. It was LeBron and AD versus Bam and Jimmy.
Yeah, so like, imagine if he stayed there, and instead of Jimmy, it was Bam and LeBron, and maybe even Bam, LeBron, and Jimmy. That would have been crazy.
I need to know what happened between LeBron and Pat Riley, because Pat Riley has shown he's going to try to do whatever.
Oh, they, you know, not, what happened?
They might not be winning in Miami, but Miami is consistently there, and they're doing it without.
But we know what happened, bro. What happened between LeBron and Pat Riley was Pat Riley told LeBron that his entourage couldn't ride on the planes or something like that no more. And then LeBron, and he told him that he needed to rein in his entourage because they was kind of doing too much. I believe that's the report, the alleged report, was that Pat Riley basically told LeBron, like, yo, your entourage and you doing too much. They can't be on the planes and walking all through the stadium or whatever. This is the Miami Heat organization. And LeBron got mad at that and was basically like, fuck that. Because remember when Phil Jackson had his LeBron his posse comment. That was because at that point, LeBron's people in Miami were basically acting like they had carte blanche to do whatever it was that they wanted to do. And Pat Riley was like, nah, we the Miami Heat. You not about to just do whatever you want to do. And LeBron was like, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Cleveland because I embarrassed Darren Gilbert, but he owed me.
Yeah. Now, see, I thought Phil said all of that in a hypothetical. I had no idea it was Pat Riley.
No. Understand what I'm saying. Phil actually did say that. But see, what I'm saying is, no. Phil literally made a comment in the media talking about LeBron and his posse. But what I'm saying is that Pat Riley, allegedly behind the scenes, the real reason why LeBron left Miami was because Pat Riley was like, we like having you here, but this is the Miami Heat organization, and you just can't have your people running around and doing whatever they want to do. They got to adhere to the rules, and you do too, just like everybody else. And LeBron was like, I'm LeBron. Fuck out of here. I'm going back to Cleveland. That's the alleged rumor. It's never been confirmed, but that's the rumor, is that Pat Riley was like, nah, you and your boys doing too much. Like, y'all got to calm that down. And then remember, LeBron was rumored to maybe go to New York. And then Phil Jackson made a comment about LeBron's posse. So that's what all of that was about. Like, basically, Mav, Carter, all them other guys that was hanger-arounds when LeBron was at his peak that now have successful businesses and companies, Pat Riley was like, yeah, they can't just hang around.
Yeah.
Skyler, I swear I want to block you. If the Lakers get Harrison Barnes, bro, I'm never watching another Lakers game again. Man, but last question, it's on the screen. What do you think is next for LeBron? You talked to me before the show about where you thought, you know, what you think is next. What do you actually think is next for LeBron? Does he stay a Laker? Does he not stay a Laker? What do you think?
It depends on where Bronny goes. It depends on what the Lakers are able to actually do this free agency. There's way too many variables to kind of like predict, oh, he's just going to stay in LA. What if the Lakers?
Can I ask a question, not to interrupt, but you asked what other players can you get? Can you all actually go out and get some players? Are you all not cap strapped? That's just an honest question. I don't know the actual answers. I didn't research that.
They want to trade everyone for Trae Young. And then fill out the team with whatever you can get after that. And do you see Trae Young as the missing piece? And
no,
I would
Trae
say
Young
fuck,
stopping
I would
the Nuggets.
Say no, no, he can't play defense. So I would say no. So it's just like, what can you present LeBron with staying in LA? Like, is he going to be on a winning team in LA? If not, fuck it, dude. I've made almost $1 billion playing the game of basketball.
Like, I mean, he's not going to retire from the Lakers. He's going if he retire, he going to like say, I'm going somewhere else and retire.
Do you run that risk of, cause I know when it comes to LeBron for legacy, it's still being able to play for longevity, going out on top. And if next year he sees a dip in production, a dip in all this, he's going to hear some legacy talk where it's stats, his stats kind of made them dip.
I mean, I talked about this with the homie earlier. LeBron's points per game and his stats, his shooting percentage has gone up, but his points per game and his stats have dipped every single year for the past 3 years since he scored 28.7, I believe, in 2022.
So it's for him, it's just, does he want to be able to say he was able to still score 26-7-7 in his last year with LA, or does he want to go sign somewhere else to be the second best player on a team that was a championship? Yeah. Because the days of him winning a championship as number one, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
He has to realize that the team he's playing for has to realize that. Because you hear Darvin Ham, you hear Genie, you hear Rob saying LeBron can still do it. Yes, he can, but he can't do it every night anymore. He's not the number one on your team. And if the Lakers don't have a current number one with AD and LeBron on the roster, that's trash.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's going to retire soon. You don't know what you have. You don't think AD's that guy. If you don't think he's the number one, which you've kind of shown with the pieces you have around the team.
Yeah.
Because what's going to work around AD is people that can, A, throw him a pick and roll lob. We don't have D'Lo and Austin Reeves can't do that. They aren't fast enough to go downhill to make the defense collapse. And so you're taking away one of
this guy is rumored. What do you think about that? Should JJ Redick be the coach of the Lakers?
So he
him
LeBron
and LeBron can, have a podcast together.
So he and LeBron can do what? Like, why the fuck? Like, we're LeBron's about to be 40. Why are you tying yourself down to JJ Redick? Who, if LeBron's 39 and quitting in the second half, because if you watch the game tonight, he quit.
Oh, and I will say this: I did not watch I'll put it this way: my homie was over and we were talking about real life stuff. So I was watching the game, but I wasn't like paying attention to the intricacies of it because I've told Joel this, the co-host of Hoops and Brews, and Pavi this many a times. Every Lakers-Nuggets game goes the same way. The Lakers get up big. They play well in the first half. The second half, Mike Malone comes out adjusts them, and Nikola Jokic puts his foot down and says, I'm the man, and it ain't shit you can do about it. Even to the point where he'll just throw up some bullshit at the end of the game for three, and it just goes in, and they win.
No, if you watch
like tonight, two game winners on the Nuggets, I mean on the Lakers, bro. Two back to back seasons with game winners. If I'm the Cavs, why do I want LeBron, fans? If I'm the Cavaliers, why do I want LeBron? Like if you're the Cavs are they're up 2-1 on the Magic. But let's just say they win, and then who would they play next? The Knicks? Or would they play the Bucks Pacers? I think they play the Bucks Pacers. Play the Bucks Pacers, maybe we win. If we win, we're conference finals. What do I need? LeBron is not going to be, unless Donovan Mitchell is literally going to leave. And even then, would you want to place LeBron with Donovan Mitchell with LeBron at this age? That's a real question.
No.
I don't know.
You're going into year 22 with LeBron. What works around him? At this point, we don't know. You can't say just surround him with shooters anymore. You don't
LeBron
know
is the system. Nothing works. LeBron is the only thing that works.
And
he's a one-man wrecking crew.
And now he can't. That's not the side you can. You can't win with that anymore. You can't. Yeah. Fourth quarter, he's going to get fatigued. He can't. He's not the one-man wrecking crew anymore. Sometimes he can't beat. And I was basically kind of yelled at by some LeBron fans when I noticed this. I'm like, he can't get by certain defenders without either the refs being okay with him traveling or pushing off. Like it's, you see it and you're like, holy hell, LeBron's 39. You don't know what players you can put around him because he can't be the number one. So what does he look like as a number two? Do you want to see LeBron as a number two next to Donovan Mitchell? Can Donovan Mitchell get it done as a number one? You don't know. So that's why I would say they're both great players, but no, I wouldn't put LeBron next to Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. Like you just, there are too many variables with that.
Now y'all wilding. Yeah, LeBron is not coming off anybody's bench.
No,
he would quit basketball forever before he came off anybody's bench. Let's just be honest. Am I wrong?
No. LeBron next year can get you 24-6-6-6 and be the seventh or the eighth seed in the playoffs. But that's not what you aim for as an NBA team.
Oh, no, that's not what you aim for. I'd say it as a what?
As a Lakers fan, I don't.
No, as a Laker. You know what I mean? As a Laker, the Lakers are not known for you just so happening to maybe make the playoffs, and that's maybe what y'all do. We gotta we've come to this point in LeBron's legacy where literally he's not lowering the Lakers' legacy, but he's lowering people's expectations of what the Lakers should be every year. Like, I remember when the Lakers were bad, when Kobe was still alive and he was on there. And every year he got shit for them being bad.
Yeah.
No one gave Kobe a pass because the Lakers were mediocre. No one gave Kobe a pass when the Lakers were in the first round. No one gave him a pass when they beat the Suns and then lost in the next round. No one gave Kobe a pass when they got their ass beat by the fucking Mavericks and J.J. Barea got knocked out the sky by Andrew Bynum, which is still one of the dirtiest plays of all time, G. That's like Andrew Bynum knocking me out the sky, G. Actually, J.J. Barea is Patty height, G. He like 5'7", G. I'm 5'10", G. That's no disrespect to Pavy, but that's like, imagine Andrew Bynum knocking Pavy out the sky as y'all about to get swept.
That's one of the funniest pictures when he takes his jersey off too as he's like sitting in the court. I'm like,
yeah,
no one wants to see your shirt.
Have you heard about this locker room fight?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. Someone says, I hope LeBron's not gonna mess up the Olympics. He can't mess up the Olympics this year. If Team USA losing the Olympics this year, LeBron better retire at the end of the Olympics.
Because you can't have bronze and also not get gold again.
Oh my God, bro. That would be so terrible. Like, that would be so terrible.
You have Steph Curry, you have AD, you have literally everyone else. Nah, he can't go. He has to win gold.
Yeah, I agree. But I know, I'm sure you probably got a dip. But man, this was super fun, bro. I love talking hoops with you, man. Any final Lakers takes you want to get off as we exit this game three take? Take your last 2 minutes. Let's get it to 45 minutes. So we take 2 minutes. Give me your outlook on game four and what you think happens. I don't know if you'll be available after game four, but let's just talk about this as if we don't know if you will be. What do you think happens in game four? And then what do you think happens in the next 4 months for the Lakers?
I think the Lakers get swept. I think game four is a 20-point blowout. I think AD continues to show up. I think AD continues to show that he's been the Lakers' best player this year. He's been a top 10 NBA player this year. I hope this season for Laker fans, we remember what Anthony Davis kind of did in LA, because his legacy the past 2-3 years has been kind of shaky with injuries, with not being able to be available. But this season in 2020, he was everything that we were advertised. He was everything we traded for. And I want us to remember this season from AD and what he's actually capable of, because who knows what happens. Who knows if he requests a trade in the summer because he's tired with the franchise, tired with the front office, if LeBron leaves, what this team looks like. I expect within the next 4 months, I think two of the starters from the Lakers' current five are off the team. Who those players are, I have no idea. That's my prediction. Maybe even three. I think this team looks a lot different next season, because you can't lose 8 straight games in the postseason and expect for things to stay the same. And I'll try to be here for game four, because This was pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Hey man, I enjoyed it a lot too. And like I told you, bro, and fans, y'all should know this as well. I want to thank y'all for always sticking with us and rocking with us. Yep. A lot of the fans don't know this, but our channel and this channel where we're airing this show has literally made $0 for the last, I would say, 5 years or so, because the monetization was shut off by YouTube for so long. So after 5 years of it not being monetized, we finally are able to monetize and make money and get ads on our channel again. I could tell people are viewing our videos again because they're getting surfaced, because the number one point of YouTube is to serve the right ad to the right viewer at the right time. That's literally in the YouTube training manual. So when you're not running ads on your channel, it's not going to get algorithmically favored to get pushed and seen by more people. So now we're running ads. So we're actually able to make some money off of this channel because me and Pavi and our business ventures have been keeping this thing alive. So now that it's making money, you know, I'm glad that it is making money. And, you know, all the creators that we helped out back when it wasn't making money just to get them eyeballs and do other stuff. Like even looking at what Ashley Nicole is doing is like, you know what I mean? Like we used to just be shooting shit every day. Now look at what she's doing. It's amazing. So, you know, shout out to her and shout out to you and like just the belief in it. So, you know, we thought about shutting it all down, but once the ads came back on, it was like, man, it's time to get back to it. So that's when I hit you up. I was like, hey, man, even if you got a free 30, 45 minutes, let's hop on, let's talk. It's always fun. I mean, it's just hoops, you know what I mean? The catharsis of hoops is that it's limitless and it's never ending. It's heartbreaking and it's joyous at the same time. And it's the sweetest science to argue and debate. And that's really what it boils down to. So no matter how much you want to overanalyze any other sport, hoops to me is the easiest sport to argue. Can you get the ball in the bucket? If he can't, you either think he good or he not, and the rest of it goes from there. You know what I mean? So it's always good times, brother. I appreciate you. Go ahead. By the way, the question, let's say LeBron leaves. Do we leave it as King Watch? Are we looking for the new King of LA? Do we continue the King Watch LA name or do we change it like we did Zotime? I kind of feel like we should keep it. I feel like King Watch is known now.
Yeah, and I miss Zotime. I miss the Zotime stuff because that's like when we first started. Yeah. That's when Lonzo was taking over the city of LA. But now,
bro, and now his leg falling off.
I hope he plays. I hope he's able to play next year. Cause
yeah, me too.
It'll help the Bulls, but I think we keep it as King Watch. Cause yeah,
yeah. I'm looking for who's the new King of LA. Cause LeBron, he had a spark when he started, but now he's just garbage. All right, man. Peace out, fans.
Next star of LA is gonna be Anthony Edwards.
He's not coming to LA. All right. If Ant Edwards end up on the Lakers, we're running this back in the future.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing. You could be living in Alaska. You're going to get on this camera and you're going to acknowledge that you said this on April 26, 2024.
He's too much of a big personality to not. Like you can't leave him in Minnesota. You can't.
I can agree with that, but I hope he stays because I think he's bringing a new light and he has a chance to do something that no one has ever done, and that's become a great and a champion as a Timberwolf.
Yep.
So, till next time, fans, we appreciate you. Thank you all hundreds of you all that watched tonight. We appreciate it. Mad late, 3 a.m. in the East Coast, but shout out to the fans. Shout out to the homie Chris Kidd. He said, do the people care about the Lakers because of LeBron or care about the Lakers for being the Lakers? I'm not answering that. That's stupid. Only Howard can stop Jokic. They need him next season. I'm not answering that. That's stupid. It happened. I was there. LeBron punched him, and he liked and asked for more. I'm not answering that. That's stupid. AD isn't effective in the front court. No, hey, I'm not answering that. That's stupid. Fans, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Daniel, I'll get up with you later, man. Until next time, peace out, y'all. This has been King Watch. We out.